The US President Joe Biden is nothing if not ambitious, declaring that his administration's infrastructure plan will create 19 million jobs. But it comes with a hefty price tag of just under $2 trillion US dollars over 8 years. It will fund transport projects, a renewed electricity grid, high-speed broadband and green technologies. How's it going to be paid for? Stephen Kirscher from the US Studies Centre is speaking here with Radio National's Richard Ady.
Well, the administration has put this up alongside a $2 trillion corporate tax increase, which is spread over 15 years. There's no necessary economic connection between the infrastructure spending on the one hand and the tax increase on the other. Whatever revenue the US government raises by whatever means can be spent on anything. So the allocation of the tax increase to the infrastructure package is really notional and more political than economic. So the political impression that the Biden administration is trying to create is the idea that corporates will be paying for this upgrade to US infrastructure.
As I understand it, corporate America is already pushing back on some of this, and the Republican Party is pushing back. What has been the reaction?
Well, as you can imagine, the corporate sector is not enthusiastic about the proposed corporate tax increase, because when you add the proposed increase to state corporate taxes, then you end up with a corporate tax rate in the US above 32%, which would make it the highest in the G7, highest in the OECD, in fact, and even higher than Australia's 30% corporate tax rate. And so this is part of the problem with what's being proposed, which is that the mode of taxation they've chosen to raise revenue to pay for this is one that's actually a negative for both US investment and economic growth. You know, the best way that the US can pay for the things like the infrastructure package is to grow its economy very quickly. A big corporate tax increase is not good for investment, growth, jobs and wages.
Interestingly, and I think very relevantly to what you've just been talking about, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is proposing a kind of global minimum corporate tax rate. I guess that is kind of to offset the issue that you've just been talking about, in part at least.
Yeah, it's a tacit admission that having the highest tax rate in the OECD is going to put US firms and US production at an international competitive disadvantage. Interestingly enough, US corporates are very supportive of the idea of a global minimum tax for precisely that reason. So US corporates would say, well, if you're going to slug us with the highest corporate tax rate in the OECD, then at least try and put a floor under everyone else's corporate tax, so that we're not at a disadvantage by producing stuff in the US.
Now, she did say that there's been 30 years of racing to the bottom, and of course we know about countries like Ireland, which has a corporate tax rate of, I think, 12%. There's other countries in the EU. There's smallish countries in the Caribbean that have very low tax. Bermuda, I think, has no tax. What effect, if this happened, would it have on tax havens?
Well, in terms of this idea of a race to the bottom, if you look at the OECD average corporate tax rate, that really hasn't changed very much over the last 10 years. So the average has fallen to about 25%. And so what the Trump corporate tax cut tried to do was to take the US down to a more competitive rate relative to that OECD average. So rather than characterizing it as a race to the bottom, I would characterize it more as, you know, convergence around something like a 25% corporate tax rate.
That's Stephen Kirscher there from the US Studies Centre, speaking with Richard Ady. You can hear more of that story on The Money this afternoon at 5:30 right here on RN.